Hey everybody, Beesby Ben here. Massive, big, huge episode today. We have Emily Forrest McShee from Embodied Bee on today, and I'm super excited to have her on. Thank you so much for your time, Em.
Thank you so much for having me, Ben.
Now, awesome. Thank you. Now, obviously, just before we started recording, we're just talking about the swarm seasons upon us. But before we sort of talk about that, let's jump into that question. How did you get started in the bees and how did it all happen?
Well, Ben, I am a proud first generation beekeeper. So I really didn't know anything about bees until about 5 years ago. And I went to the library and it just caught my eye, this one book on bees, and it was a lecture series written by Rudolf Steiner nearly 100 years ago. And just the way he talked about bees in a sort of energetic, spiritual way, it just totally captured me, and I just read it like cover to cover. And it sort of changed something in me after that. Like when I was out and about, I'd sort of find a way to like bring bees into the conversation, you know?
Yes.
And then I just started, you know, noticing bees on flowers, and it just really caught my attention. And I feel like a lot of people kind of say that, like when they get started with bees, it sort of takes over your life nearly until you can't ignore it anymore, until you work with bees. And that's sort of what happened to me. And so I just started, you know, just doing my own research online, and I sort of went about it from the lens of sort of a bee-centric viewpoint, where I was really interested in natural beekeeping methods and just fascinated by ancient cultures and how bees have been worshipped and respected throughout history. So I still hadn't worked with bees at this point at all. I was just had an interest in them. And then I was in Tasmania and I was camping in the forest, and I had an out-of-body experience involving bees. And it was actually quite erotic. I had, you know, these bees sort of all buzzing around me, and then they started to sting me in different points of my body, but it wasn't scary. It was really comforting. And the venom, I could feel it going through my veins, and it transformed into like this serpent that went throughout my body. And it felt like I just got impregnated with this energy, and it did. It changed me. After that, I just thought, okay, this is my mission now. I have to travel. I have to work with bees. I have to plant seeds. This is sort of my path. So I kind of felt like that was some sort of initiation, and I still can't really explain it. It was really profound and beautiful.
And that was that. And that was the start of your journey into bees. Just that sort of that connection with them that you sort of had in that sort of experience. I love that. That's beautiful.
Wow. It was really beautiful. And so then after that, I was really interested in working with bees, but then I was looking at like university courses and different ways I could learn about bees. But it just felt to me, the commercial methods, it just seemed quite harsh to me, and I didn't really want to learn that way. I wanted more experience from small scale sort of beekeeping.
Yes.
I'd been following Save the Bees Australia on social media, and I was actually traveling in Europe at this time, and I just got this idea. It was sort of in the middle of the night. I was traveling on a bus, and I just went, oh my gosh, I know how we can save the bees. And I sent this like long manifesto to Simon, who runs Save the Bees Australia. It was a bit ridiculous, but Simon, you know, he was really polite, and he sort of like messaged me back like, oh, this is why that wouldn't really work, you know, but I love your enthusiasm. So when you come back to Australia, get in contact with me. And then I did, and it was just quite really interesting timing, because his son's mother had just passed away. And I came and lived, and he was spending quite a lot of time with his son at the time, and I just got thrown into this like hands-on beekeeping work, not knowing really anything about physical beekeeping. And so I made a lot of mistakes and I learned a lot and I got stung a lot of times. But it was really beautiful because then I was just in this like bee realm talking, you know, passionately, you know, with these crazy concepts. I was just sort of in the bee world then, and it was, it's just sort of continued and evolved, and it's still evolving.
I love that. And I love the way too, Emily, you sort of mentioned, you know, I mean, making mistakes. And I think it's important to, you know, people listening, you know, I mean, that's how we learn. We learn from our mistakes, you know what I mean? And I've made thousands of them. And, you know, and as long as we learn, we do something, yeah, something goes wrong and we learn from that. So in saying that, what would be, is there one particular mistake that you've made that sort of?
I've done a lot of stupid things. But one of the most sort of heartbreaking to me was I was up in New South Wales and my friend had a swarm and I got all excited and said, okay, I can come, I can help you. It was two little clusters and I thought that it was one swarm and, you know, they'd just landed two different places and they were sort of confused. So I just, you know, took both of the swarms into a box and we put it into this hive I'd made, and then it took a while for them all to slowly die because it turned out it was actually two separate swarms because she did have multiple hives on the property, and it was just a weird thing that they'd swarmed at the same time. So the queens, what I think happened is they ended up, they killed each other and they were queenless, and then the bees just slowly died.
Okay.
So that was quite a hard thing to watch. So I've made, you know, silly mistakes like that over time, but you sort of learn as you go, and that's one sort of thing that I always say is that I'm learning from the bees. You know, the bees know best, because like when we say even the word beekeeper, it sort of suggests, you know, this domination that we are taking care of them. But I think it's totally the other way around. That's the bees that are keeping us. Like if it wasn't the bees, what they pollinate, you know, 2/3 of the food we eat, you know, it really is a symbiotic relationship that they have with the earth and with the flowers and the plants. And, you know, they have this amazing collective knowledge and consciousness. And I just really respect them. And I think they know, you know, when to kill a queen. They know. they have a lot of wisdom and knowledge. So I try to interfere as less as possible and just let the bees do their things and to sort of show me the way.
Yes.
And
Yeah, I love that. You know, I mean, just allowing them to show you, because that's, you know, sometimes we, a lot of people, you know, we're humans and we can be impatient and we fiddle. And I've seen beekeepers sort of fiddle around too much, you know, in the hive and, you know, every other day. And it just sort of, yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? Just allowing the bees to sort of, you know, do their thing and let bees be bees. So, yeah, I totally agree. And what about positive experience? What's sort of a couple of amazing things that you've experienced and seen with beekeeping, Em? Because you've traveled a lot too, so.
Yeah, well, I've seen some really amazing things. Even before I got into beekeeping and I was over in Europe, I went to a place in the Black Forest. This is a biodynamic honey place, and it's part of, I think we have Lolita in, is it New Zealand or Australia? It's sort of like the version of that over in Germany.
Okay. Yep.
So it's a beautiful honey place. They have, you know, sun hives and top bar hives, and it's amazing. But it was also eye-opening over there, because they still had to use organic chemical treatments, but they still had to treat for disease. So it's a whole other world in Europe. But anyway, they had this hexagon hut, and I walked in and it just smelt like the inside of a beehive. It was amazing. It was quite a small hut. And then in the middle was like this sculpture, and it was made of beeswax. It was a giant sphere of beeswax.
Wow.
And he said, you know, you can like climb up in there and you can meditate. And I just went, okay, cool. So the guy left and I got to climb up inside this like ball of beeswax, and it felt like I was like a larvae inside of the cell. And I like, I sat, you know, curled up inside the ball of beeswax, and the acoustics were amazing in there. And I actually hummed like a bee inside there with the smells and everything. I felt like I was in the hive. And then when I came out, I felt like I had been sort of reborn in a sense. That's like coming out into the world, into the hive kind of thing. So that was another pretty amazing experience.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that. You know, that's what we need, something like that here in Australia. You know what I mean? Something where,
I know.
Because you know, obviously we can experience certain things, and we can go see beekeepers, and there's like a bee museum up in the Sunshine Coast. But, you know, for something, you know, cool stuff like that, and particularly the senses. And that's one thing for me growing up as a child, I can remember distinctly the smell of wild hives. A wild hive in a tree, and it's got a very unique sort of smell. And as you mentioned, you know, this little honey hut type thing with the beeswax. Like, you know, it's interesting, the smells. And I think, and I'm sure you agree with me, and you know, when you're helping someone with bees, you know, all their senses come alive. You know what I mean? All the senses, you know what I mean?
Totally. Mm. And I think that's because bees, like, they are sensory creatures, and they communicate through pheromones. Like, I've gotten high off catching swarms. Like, you know, that strong sort of, the only way I can describe it is like lemongrass scent. But when I'm catching swarms, like, I get so happy. Like, you know, it's probably the adrenaline rush, even though I'm, you know, very slow and calm and all of that. But just the smell, like, I think the pheromones make me high.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're amazing.
I totally get it. And it's, you know, I get that same sort of almost like a euphoria type feeling when you're catching swarms. Like, it's, I don't know, there's just something almost like magical about them, you know what I mean? Because that's the way that the bees have been obviously born, you know what I mean? The way they reproduce is by swarming.
They communicate through like that smell and also vibration. Like, it's a whole other world to us, but when we tune into it, like, there's so much to explore in that. And I think that's another reason people get so like addicted to bees. It's because it's exploring these other realms that we can't quite explain.
That's so true. Exactly. And I remember we spoke ages ago and we used this really good analogy about obviously with beehives, you know, creating an artificial split. And use, what was that analogy? Like using...
I look at a swarm as if though it's a natural birth. Because, and I do, I feel like it, like a doula, like a birth worker when I'm catching a swarm, because it's sort of like this bridge between life and death. And I don't, anyone who's birthed a child might be able to relate to this as well. But I really, I see the hive as if it's a whole. So the hive itself, that's the skin, and the honey is the blood. And the bees are like the cells of the body all working together as a collective consciousness. So by viewing the hive as if it's a full entity, when I look at it, whenever you're opening up the hive in any way, you're doing a surgery. Like, you know, you're opening up an organism in a sense. So I try to do that as less as possible because, yeah, I think the more that you open them up, you're exposing them to infection, to disease, to different things. The more you take blood from a human, but if you take too much at once, your body's going to get sick. It's going to take longer to recover. But if you just take a little bit of blood at a time, you know, you can recover to health quite quickly. And so also with splits, I see it like a cesarean, like a C-section. So when you are taking parts of that body out, you're stripping them away and then you're putting them into a box. And with a queen that is, they don't know the scent of, you know, they have to keep her in a cage so they don't kill her straight away. And then you can release her later and they don't know her. And, you know, they can survive. But I just think these practices that we do over and over again, like, and I look around the world at the problems we're having with the bees and how we've manipulated their genetics and how we manipulate them daily. It makes a lot of sense to me that we're having a lot of issues and diseases and things because we're not by just the way that we're viewing them, and because of even the way that small scale beekeepers look to the commercial methods to do beekeeping, when maybe you're not wanting to get the most amount of honey you can yes. If you're just having it in your backyard. So yeah, that's what I'm more about, is doing sort of small intervention, just letting the bees do their thing, and yeah.
So Emily, so in saying that, if there's one thing that you could do to change the world and protect and save the bees, what would that be?
In the beekeeping world, yes, a method. Yeah. I would not want people to requeen. I wouldn't want people to queen. And that's something that Rudolf Steiner talked about 100 years ago. He predicted that if we keep manipulating the genetics the way that we are, that they're not going to be as strong, because we've bred them to be, so that we can be around them, because bees, they're vicious, like traditionally, naturally. When you go back, when you go to Europe, they have to be strong to be able to fight off disease, but we want them close to our houses. We want to be able to rob honey from them easily. So we've bred, these genetic traits that we find appealing, but also, we've sort of weakened the bees in a sense that they're not able to be as aggressive or fight off disease as much. And, the queen, she'll go out and she'll mate with, 50 to 100 drones, and when she gets artificially inseminated, it's just one sperm. Yeah, so the diversity is not there. So I think that's really messed up the bees. So yeah, I think that if I could change one thing, it would be not to requeen.
Yes,
especially just the best part beekeepers.
Yes. That's very interesting points there. I like those, Emily. And now, speaking obviously with queens and bees and products and things, you've got an awesome website, www.embodybee.org. Now, you do a lot of own products, and so tell us about some of your favourite ones and your most popular ones.
Yeah, so everything I make myself by hand in my little kitchen, and it goes by the principle of apitherapy, which is a modality of healing using all of the elements of the hive, because everything within the hive has the potential for healing. I'm talking about the air inside the beehive, the propolis, royal jelly, beeswax, honey, probably the venom. There we go. There's so much healing potential within that. And so I just really love all these aspects, and I try to bring that into my daily life as much as I can. So I make a lot of things out of beeswax. I do pure beeswax, candles and balms. I even make beeswax crayons with natural colors for children. And then I work with propolis. I do propolis toothpaste and the tinctures. And I even make like deodorant, so lots of different things, all bee themed.
That's awesome. And everyone listening, I'm going to put just a link in the show notes for your website, but absolutely everyone jump on board, because also it's on there. This, you've got like a little you in this little short documentary. That is so cool. That is awesome.
It's really beautiful to, sorry?
Yeah, tell us all about that. Like it's really cool.
Yeah, that was really beautiful to look back on, because it was a few years ago now, and it was when I'd sort of just first come to Save the Bees. Maybe I'd been here a year. And my beautiful friend from Melbourne, she was just fascinated by what she was doing and asked if she could film this documentary. And at the time, I didn't really know exactly what I was doing, but I just kind of expressed it to her, and it came out the way she did a beautiful job on it. The way she sort of put it all together. But in the end, I'm sort of, I'm talking about the communication with the bees, and I'm dancing in it, comparing it to their waggle dance. And so that was a really beautiful experience to have that be filmed and to look back on. It's called Being Kept. So the idea is that, it's the bees that are taking care of us, and if we can resacralize the bee and, you know, learn about how healing and beneficial they are for us and the earth, because, you know, all these cultures throughout history did. They saw honey as medicine, you know. They took a teaspoon and, exactly. You know, really valued it and enjoyed it. You know, beeswax was one of the original forms of currency. You know, these, if we can start to begin again to really respect the bees and all their products, I feel like we will, you know, we look after what we love. So I think that the bees will be treated with more care and love and respect if we can view them in this way. So that's another one of my little messages.
Yeah, I love that. And talking about sort of helping people and so forth, so you do a bit of mentoring, so you and education with people?
Yeah. Well, not much through COVID, but with Simon, I've done on his Be The Cure website, we've done a little school incursion course. So for people who are homeschooling, there's a few little lessons there that you can get your kids to watch, and that's for free as well. Just talks about, you know, the inside of the beehive, how it works. But I've been doing beeswax wrap workshops, and last year I did a native beehive DIY workshop for kids using all recycled materials. That was really fun. And then also last year with Mademoiselle Bee, we did a little retreat, which was not anything to do with beekeeping. It was more about how to connect with bees in a spiritual sense. So that was beautiful. We camped out in New South Wales with, you know, a beautiful group of people. There's so many different aspects I do and would like to explore more as well. You know, and of course I beekeep and all of that, you know, catch swarms as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you mentioned you live with Simon sort of for a bit. Has Simon got any bad habits? Tell us.
You could don't do this to me then. No, Simon is wonderful. He's been such an amazing mentor, and we get along, you know, we're like best friends. We definitely have different views and different styles on the way that we do things, but I think we highly respect each other. I'm definitely going to do things a bit differently in my style of beekeeping when I leave here, but I couldn't ask for a better mentor, really. It's been incredible, not just learning from the bees, but also so inspired through his activism and all that he's done in his short years of beekeeping. So, yeah, it's been incredible.
Exactly. Yeah, he's absolutely. He's a beautiful soul, Simon. Absolutely. But you avoided that question. Is he a bit messy? Yeah, come on, you gotta give us one. You gotta give us something.
I guess. Okay. So with the beekeeping tools, he always can't find something, or he leaves a smoker at someone's house or a hive tool. Or there's always something missing. It's usually always the lighter. Like, we have everything packed up. We're in the car and we get to the job and we go to light the smoker and he's like, shit, we don't have a lighter. And it happens a lot.
that's funny. You know what? I wonder if that's, it could be more of a male thing maybe, because I find I'm the same. No, I've got actually, I'm not kidding when I say this, and this is embarrassing. So, but I've got 5 bee smokers. I've got to have 5 of them because for some reason they're just like, they'll disappear and then they'll come back. And they're like those little gnomes in the garden, you know, those little gnomes that sort of move around and things, or someone moves them. That's my smokers do that. And they're always.
Yeah, no, that happens to us too. And it's always annoying because it's always the one that you haven't really cleaned out properly.
Exactly.
For us anyway.
Exactly. And same, and like with the hive tools, like no matter how much if you paint them fluorescent, pink, fluorescent, yellow, like, you know, glow in the dark, for some reason they still go missing. I don't know, hive tools. But yeah,
it's one of those things that I see everywhere. Like, I see it around the house, like on top of the fridge, like I find them like the weirdest places, but when I'm looking for one, like actually needing to have one, I can't find it anywhere.
That's hilarious. That's funny. And so
so
what's in store in the future for you, Emily? What's your plans for sort of obviously with beekeeping and life in general?
Yeah, well, I'm definitely ready for a change. COVID has sort of kept me here a little bit, which winter's actually been really lovely. I've been in the kitchen making lots of stuff, but I'm definitely eager to get out, and I've been saving up these last years and have a little deposit for a place, and I'm still waiting to hear whether it's going ahead or not, but maybe in the next month I'll
awesome.
Be in a little house of my own. Yeah, I don't want to jinx it, but yeah, I'm really hoping, and if that doesn't go ahead, I'm sure this year I'll find an alternative. So yeah, I really want to just surround myself with wildflowers and different styles of hives, and I'd really love to have a little B&B and have people come and, you know, just enjoy the garden and the bees. And I would like to get into some alternative modalities of healing using the bees as well. There's lots I'd still like to learn and explore.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm really excited, hopefully, to get grounded in my own spot sometime this year.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Little Olive, you've got your daughter who's absolutely the most gorgeous thing in the whole wide world. And she's got like her own little beekeeping suit. We've seen on Facebook and Instagram. Does she love the bees?
Like, yes. She's had that little suit since she was 6 months, and she came with Simon and I out on jobs, and she's always loved it, and she's never, she's always been really comfortable around bees. I think just because we are here as well, and, you know, children, they watch and they imitate. But she can go, because she plays in the backyard all the time, she can go right up to a hive, like right up to the entrance. Like anyone else that just walked up to the entrance of the hive would probably get stung. But I feel like they've sort of gotten to know her, and she can play comfortably right outside the hive, and she won't get stung. But only, she has been stung, but only when she's stepped on a bee or, you know, something's happened like that. So yeah, she's just really beautiful, and she knows to be slow and gentle around them. And she loves the little suit because it's like, you know, we're going on an adventure when she puts it on. So she knows we're going to go for a drive or do something exciting. So at the moment, yeah, she's loving it.
That's awesome. That's so cute. She's absolutely the most cutest thing, and everyone's gotta check you out on Facebook and Instagram. So if obviously I mentioned the site, which I put in the show notes, but on Instagram and Facebook, how do we find you, Emily?
Oh yes, so it's EmbodyBee, so EmbodyBee on Facebook and Instagram, and then my website's www.embodybee.org. So that's how you can find me.
Awesome. And I encourage everyone listening, like, check it out. Really cool little site. And just last question, because I really appreciate your time, is if you could go back in time, Emily, and change something that you've learnt or something you've done, like, what would you change about yourself and the way you keep bees? Knowing what you know now, if you go back in time, what would that be?
It's hard. It's really a hard one to say because I just feel like it's been so much of an evolution. Like, I don't think I'd think the way that I think towards bees if I hadn't had the experience that I've had. I think, you know, it was probably a good year, 2 years from me being obsessed with bees before I actually even looked inside a beehive. And I think there's a lot of resistance and nearly fear in some sort of way of not knowing, you know, exactly what to do. I was sort of afraid of making mistakes or just getting a beehive. And so I probably would have liked to get into it even sooner if I could go back in time.
I'm hearing you. And you know what? I'm exactly the same. I mean, that's probably, you know, I don't have any regrets in life, but there's probably one, if I was to say it, that I wish I could have done it sooner. When I say sooner, you know, I bought my first beehive when I was 14. But for me, I think, I don't like the word as a business, you know what I mean? Because, you know, the way I see it personally, the bees don't work for me, I work for them. But the one thing I love the most about bees and having sort of... the biggest thing I love about bees is the connection between people as well. You know, I mean, we're all we're all connected in a way, and this is what I love about this podcast is, you know, we've known each other for quite a few years now, and you know, and I love that connection with people, and for me, and that's I absolutely love that, and I really appreciate you sort of what you're doing is absolutely amazing. So thank you.
I think the bees are really amazing at bringing people together. They've sort of been like this bridge for me. Like, I've met incredible people because of the bees. It's been unbelievable. So I'm very thankful to them and to other people like yourself, you know, who are really wonderful advocates for bees, doing really interesting stuff out there, you know. There's some really amazing people doing great things.
Yeah.
So it's been exciting.
I totally agree, Em. Totally agree, and we're going to finish that off on a big hug. thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. And as soon as this COVID bug goes, look forward to seeing you again in the flesh and your beautiful daughter.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much, Ben.
No, thanks, Em. You take care. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.